We bless you.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Amen. How's this bunch doing tonight? You know, I wanted to say something. If Gina, if you could play that piano softly, if you can turn it down, or so I'm not competing with it. Amen. You know, don't you love him? But I've been wanting to do this. About eight or nine months ago, praying, and I saw this picture of Ken and Emily. I saw somebody praying over you guys. I can't tell you who it was. And it's like this, God is releasing this assignment over your guys' life. And so every time somebody, and the Lord just letting me know in my heart, this is a true word for you guys. Giving somebody a prophetic word or exhortation, I take that serious, because I know the benefits of it, but I also know the other side of it when it's not done right, or it's just coming out of man's mind and it's not the Lord. But the Lord's let me know that it's him. So about eight months ago, I saw someone praying over you. But it wasn't me. I wasn't praying over you. And so we'd have a special speaker, and in my heart, I never told you this, guys. I almost did, but I didn't. And I would think, oh, I wonder if this person's going to pray over Emily, Ken and Emily. And the next person maybe would come. And I said, I wonder if that's going to be the individual. And that, you know, obviously that hasn't happened. And then I went to this pastor's retreat where there was a lot of prophetic, and it didn't matter if you were prophetic or not, you left there with the prophetic on you. Just the way it works. But you know what I saw, what the Lord spoke to me, is he said, you know what, the reason why that hasn't happened is nothing bad. He's preparing you. There's coming a time where God is going to release something that he has for you guys. You already know that in your hearts. You already know a stirring in your hearts and your lives that God has something for you. And the Lord, yes, is saying that he is preparing you for that, to be faithful in the small things, to be faithful in the small things, and God will give you bigger and bigger things in your hand. Amen. For the kingdom. Amen. Of God. So as you're faithful in the small things, for the glory of God, as you're faithful in those small things, that even as the enemy would try to distract or do this, saying, Lord, I'm going to be faithful in those small things, and the Lord is going to trust you with bigger and bigger and bigger things. So Emily, I saw that you already know that you have a discerning of spirits, which you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which you can see behind and see the motivation of what's going on. The Lord is going to continue to use that. Amen. As you see that in people's lives, the Lord says, pray for them.
Glory to God.
Pray for them. Amen. And he continued to exercise that gift, not to critique somebody, but to pray for somebody, but having the ability to see what is motivating somebody. Amen. Behind the scenes. Hallelujah. The body of Christ needs that. A ministry that's released to individuals needs that. Amen. So the Lord wants to hone those giftings,
yes,
in your life. And the way those giftings are honed as we begin to exercise them. Amen. The Lord begins us to show how to use those. He shows us when we've used those and maybe they weren't used correctly, or maybe we saw something that wasn't of the Lord. But ask the Lord to start saying, Lord, begin to show me these giftings. Help me to exercise them. 1 Peter 4 says that the spiritual gifts that we have, to begin to exercise them in Jesus' name. And can I see where the Lord has given you the ability, as you know, to see vision, and as your hand, set your hand to the plow, he's going to allow you to be part of visions that you wouldn't have ever imagined, and to trust him as he's going to have you a central piece to things and visions for the kingdom of God that you don't even see now. It's those faithful things now. So as I said, Lord, I've been seeing that, and I have not seen this release into whatever it is. And God said to me, I am preparing those things as you're faithful in the little things. As the enemy tries to distract you, to discourage you, say, nope, Lord's got things for us. We're putting our hand to the plow. We're trusting him with our faithfulness. He'll see that, not that we're perfect, but our faithfulness in the kingdom of God, in those small things, God will begin to grow those things, begin to expand those things.
Thank you. Yes.
And I see a time, I saw that, where God's, there's going to be an impartation and a release into something.
Amen.
That is,
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
Father, we thank
that.
You. Father, we bless you
thank
and we
you,
honor you.
Hallelujah.
And we worship you and we praise you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that vision. Lord, I think of the scripture that says, take that vision and that scroll, roll it up and run with it. Take that vision, roll it up, and run with it. And so we declare that and speak that over the curse ops, over Ken and Emily, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God. When God speaks it and we run with it, it is sure to happen. So we declare that and speak that. And we thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, Father God. In Jesus' name, we bless you and we honor you. We worship you, Father God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. He does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. It won't be because you've got all of this and that and all your ducks in a row. It'll be because you have a heart for him and want to see the kingdom of God expanded. And so he'll yes. use you for his glory in the kingdom of God. As you are faithful in the small, so we thank you for that tonight, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, God. How we love you, Father. Amen. Is he faithful?
He is.
Just real quick, stand up with me one more time if you can, and just lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I don't care what's going on or has gone on. Thank you for what you've called. Say, Lord, thank you for what you've called me to.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for what you've called me to do.
Hallelujah.
Whether you're young or considered a senior citizen, Lord, we thank you for
thank
what
you,
you've
Lord.
Called each individual
Amen.
To do, Father God. We thank you for
thank
releasing
you,
those things in the Holy Spirit, Father God, as you prepare your people for your glory. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for that, Father God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Wow, God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. And we worship you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we love you. Isn't he wonderful? Emily, isn't he wonderful? Ken, he's wonderful. He's so faithful. You know, when these things like this happen with the Lord, you know, it just knows, Lord, you see me. Do you see the good, the bad, the ugly? And you still love me. You still have purpose. I've said it many times. You know, this is an example. It could be a crude example, but it's an example nevertheless. You walk into a rehab, and the first thing that a lot of times they'll say to you is, 90% of you or 93% of you are not going to make it. My people perish with that because of a lack of vision. If people realize that God made them for a purpose, whatever that is, if you why get clean, as an example, or why get sober if there's no future, if there's no purpose? I'm telling you, purpose, amen, purposeful, what you say, you know what, I'm gonna go this direction. I'm taking a different direction. Purpose is, you know what, there's some things that are clinging to me. Lord, I'm going to ask you to help me, and I'm going to grow right out of those things. Right out of those things. Your purpose will say, you know what, I'm not going to allow anything to cling to me. Does that make sense? But when you don't have it, you're like, who cares? When the stress comes or the struggles or the enemy comes against your soul, when you don't have that vision or purpose at the forefront, you just give in. But when vision and purpose is at the forefront, you start saying, Lord, thank you for doing things in my life. Then you start having this inner spirit drive that says, Lord, I'm moving forward, and I'm not going to allow anything heavy to cling to me. I'm not going to have anything heavy keep me down. And so what you do is you just say, Lord, I'm ready. Show me. Help me, deliver me, strengthen me. He's the one to do it. Can I be honest about something you guys heard? Can I just be frank? I know I say that. When I'm going to talk about, for me, cigarettes. Okay? This isn't to condemn anybody. But it's on purpose, about purpose, and I'm saying this on purpose. I love smoking cigarettes, and my wife would be on me. Now, we're talking a lot of years ago, so this isn't last week, so don't start. And even if it was last week, God set me free. Okay? And I just love cigarettes. My kids would, but please, Dad, didn't work. My wife says, Chad, you got to quit this. Didn't work. But you know what got me to lay those down? God, I don't want anything hindering me from what you have for me. You still love me. I don't want anything with its hooks in me. And as I begin to do that, I just begin to talk to the Lord, process things with the Lord. He is the one that helped me walk out of that. He's the one that helped me walk out of that. The only thing that got me to walk out of this was purpose. Nothing else. You think of my kids, you know, jerking at your heartstrings. Your wife saying, come on, how dumb can you be? But it was purpose. It was finally purpose. Said, Lord, because of purpose, I will lay that down. And he gave me a strategy to lay it down. I wish it was I just came to the altar, had a time of prayer, and it just like this fire fell. That's what I wanted, the magic bullet. But I was able to lay them down and never look back again. You know that? And it wasn't anything to do with condemnation. It had nothing to do with God's love. It was just something in me that says, man, I don't want anything hindering me, hooks in me as I move forward. Amen? I wanted to be able to say, look at people and say, God can set you free from everything. I don't care what it is. God will set you free from anything and everything. But I think a lot of times it has to be tied with purpose. God purposes. He breathes purpose. And let him do it. Let the Spirit of God, let his grace and his mercy and his love do it. Amen? Amen. I start all with that because you've all these kids and this generation and addiction and a mess. It's because if you don't believe there's a God or you think contrary to what God's character really is, there's absolutely no hope. There's absolutely no purpose. So that scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah, says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, comes to pass. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for breathing hope into this generation. Amen. Thank you for breathing, Father God, purpose. Breathing purpose into people. Young people, seasoned citizens. Amen. Not senior, but seasoned citizens. Amen. So thank you for that tonight, Lord Jesus. Man, he's good. Amen. He's good. He's good. He's good. So next few minutes I want to spend on John session 64. I'm in the book of John chapter 7, Uncle Tommy, in case you're wondering. Tommy and Bobby have been in Texas. It is sure good to have them back. They're home. Amen. So I want to go back a little bit and we'll just kind of pull from this. John chapter 7. This is in the New American Standard Bible. I'm going to go back with verse 14. But when it was now the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple area and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, not having been educated? So we talked a little bit of that last week, just a little bit. And, you know, we mentioned that Jesus wasn't a priest, right? He wasn't from the priest line, right? He wasn't a Levite. So he wasn't a part of the temple worship, right? He wasn't a part of all those things that were in the Levite, tribe of Levite, as far as the temple worship. So he wasn't a part of that. He wasn't a scribe. Remember, the scribes at that time were the lawyers and the legal experts at that time, during the time of Jesus. And Jesus was not a part of that group either. And he wasn't a Pharisee, so he had no influence and he had no land ownership. So he didn't have an education as far as man thought, you know, as man's ways of education. He had none of that. He had no riches, so to speak, because he wasn't a Pharisee, so he had no influence. Amen. And he wasn't a priest, so he wasn't born into influence. Does that make sense? And so they were still, because of these things, they were astonished. Where did this guy learn these things? And so, you know, but yet the Jews were astonished. But were they astonished? Was that a good thing? And maybe we'll get there. Was it a good thing? I hope I can get that to tonight. We can be astonished by things, but it never make a change in your life. Did you know that? We can be astonished today. Hey, with YouTube and all the social media things, you can find different subjects and different speakers that are absolutely astonishing. It's wow. You really can. It can be for very good purposes. You can find things that'll astonish you more than ever. Amen. Do you remember years before social media platform? Do you remember before Facebook? And what was the one before Facebook that all the... MySpace. I remember that was the first one. It was MySpace. And you spaced out on MySpace? You know, before that, if you wanted to get info, you remember the days of information. You an encyclopedia. You could buy a whole set of encyclopedias that take up half a room, and you could look up a subject, right? And you could have a big Webster's dictionary, and you could look up all these different definitions of words. You know, it's interesting if encyclopedias in today's world. Because of technology, man, as soon as you would print that book, there would be more to add. It would be outdated. AI, is that artificial intelligence? Chat, what's it called, chat box? Now with this chat box, that what it has taken the whole internet. Remember I told you this and why we do a little meandering? Remember there was some place, it was either in Germany or Scotland, where there was this church, and they had this picture of this individual on the screen, but it was AI who had written this message and presented the message. Isn't that amazing? It had scoured everything about Christianity, and it was told to make, and so everything on that thing sounded, wow. It could come up with some powerful words. It actually was so amazing that it was astonishing. It was absolutely astonishing. I don't know why this church did that, but they said, hey, this chat box, they call it, this artificial intelligence takes everything from the internet. I mean, just reads everything, gets all this information and compacts it and comes out with this message regarding Jesus Christ. It was absolutely astonishing. Amen. But yet the Jews were astonished. Let me just tell you some signs of immaturity. Because I've been here and maybe you've been here before. You know, if someone is over the top wowed by a leader or a preacher, they love the personality. If you're that way, I'm not saying we don't love individuals and love their preaching, but if you're astonished and wowed, be careful. I've learned this the hard way. That's a sign of immaturity. I was wowed by Jimmy Swaggart. I would be at, I mean, I went all the way to Louisiana at his church and was on the front row all the way from Arizona because I was astonished with Jimmy Swaggart. I went to a Jimmy Swaggart thing that he had and I gave the $100. I went up there and got a Bible and shook his hand. Jimmy Swaggart was my man. I was astonished with his piano playing. His preaching, I mean, he could preach the paint off the walls. I was astonished with him. People were astonished with him, but then he fell. He fell. He fell hard. And because people were absolutely wowed by Jimmy Swaggart, there was different ministries around the world that crumbled. That absolutely crumbled. The thing that he fell in because he railed against that sexual sin. He was always trying to get other pastors in trouble. What's that scripture? Make sure your sins will find you out. So those things that he was railing against was the very thing that took him down. There was grocery store chains at this time that had removed all pornography, period, into story because of the influence of Jimmy Swaggart. There was ministries around the world that were flourishing because of the influence and power of Jimmy Swaggart. People being astonished with somebody, and when he fell, many of those individuals' faith in Christ crumbled, and they turned around and they no longer followed Christ. Being astonished. Be careful. Time of a sign of immaturity is being wowed by personalities. Does that make sense? Another thing you got to be careful, another sign of immaturity, someone has to come and tell you of all of their accomplishments. You ever done that? You just met somebody and all of a sudden they've got to tell you everything they accomplished within 10 minutes. That's another sign of immaturity. I've come to learn that when I'm dealing with that, I could be dealing with something, a facade, something that's not real. I could be dealing with religion. Religion is like looking in a dress shop. There's pretty clothes, but the mannequin has no life. A facade. It's not there. So looking at those things that are immature, be careful. You can then point them out. And so for me, don't get me wrong, there's different preachers and teachers that I glean from, but I don't compare myself to them because I'll be in trouble. Amen. I was just talking to Ken tonight. If I wanted to compare myself to Pastor Lee, the founding pastor, I mean, his to me, I can't be in those footsteps. They look like Bigfoot to me. Look like Bigfoot and a little guy. But I've learned I can't be astonished. I can love people, respect people, but I won't be astonished or wowed by anybody anymore. Because he lives in me. I'm growing in him. I'm maturing in him. I have something to say. I've got advice and good things I can give to people myself. I don't have to say, hey, go talk to the pastor down the street. Go do this or do that. No, the Spirit of God lives in me. I've got some maturity under my belt. I'm not wowed by other people and say, hey, let me tell you what the Lord's telling me. Let me tell you what the Word of God says in the spirit of and heart of grace. Let's not make sure you're not wowed by anybody. Be careful if you find yourself having to tell somebody about all your accomplishments. Be careful. I'm not saying you beat yourself down. You can say, Lord, why am I feeling like I need to do that? Why am I needing to build myself up? I don't feel, worthy or adequate in myself. When we start growing out of those things aren't a focal point or a struggle. I think you can really grow in the things of God. Or because you're not careful, if you're wowed easily by personalities or different things, make sure that you're not looking at a dress shop through a window. That looks pretty, but there's no life there in that mannequin. Amen? Amen and amen? Amen. And so they were wowed by that. They were astonished. And verse 16 says, so Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not my own. So he saw they were astonished. So look, instead of saying, yeah, I am the Son of God, which he really is, amen? But he was there on a mission and a purpose, wasn't he? He says, I'm here to do what my Father tells me, amen? So when he saw they were astonished, he said, look, my teaching's not my own. I'm not the big shot here. I don't have all the answers. What I'm hearing is coming from my Father. My teaching is not my own, but is he or is who sent me. And it's just like you and I today on this world. Really, God has sent us. Amen? He sent me when I'm sitting down with my family, relaxing and laughing and having a good time. Amen? I'm still a sent one. Amen? But in that surrounding of loving my family, amen, the Lord has still sent us to be that father, to be that husband, to be that brother, to be that sister, to be that mother, that father. At all times, I'm realizing because he lives in me, just out of who I am, I'm always looking for an a time or an opportunity to encourage one, because I'm realizing that the time is short. My life isn't forever, right? Amen. I've got many years, but you know, it goes by like that. Say, Lord, let me realize I'm a sent one. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things than this. Amen? So when I say sent one, don't get, you know, once again, I'll go back to Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not picking on Jimmy Swaggart. But I remember, because he took this thing, I'm a sent one, in a direction of, hey, I can no longer go bowling. He says, I'm sorry, I used to bowl, and I used to love bowling. But the Lord has shown me that the devil never takes any time off, so neither shall I. So we can take things and twist them. So if you're a married one, married here, and you're a sent one, you're first sent to your spouse. Amen, your first ministry. I know I've said that many times, but your first ministry is to your spouse. Amen? My first sanctuary before this one is my home. That's my first sanctuary. And I've learned from a time where it was lots of chaos because of my not understanding his goodness and religion, that now my goal as a sent one is there's going to be peace in this sanctuary. If it depends on me, there's going to be peace. There's going to be God's love, goodness. Is there times where there's things have to be worked out? Yeah, absolutely. That's life. But how I work those things out is much different. That's my first sanctuary. As a sent one, my first sanctuary. Amen. If that sanctuary is all in disarray, I don't want to be here. How am I going to lead anybody into peace or goodness if my first ministry, where I'm a sent one, is in disarray? And what God's faithfulness was so wonderful with his Holy Spirit, he shows us how to walk in that peace in our home. Amen? He first shows you how you can point to yourself and say, I can contribute to that peace at my home. Right? The other thing is you've ever been one of those where it was me like, you're the reason why there's not peace in the home? I've been there. Oh, yeah. But as the Lord started saying, Chad, right, you do that, that's me. You need to contribute to the peace of this home and not worry about somebody else. That's a hard one, right? But that's for something else. Amen. You know, the Lord always wants, He says, my teaching is not my own. Aren't you glad when you're walking with the Lord, you know, our teaching isn't our own. It's his. He gave it to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10, 18 and 20, let me read this. It says, and you will even, Jesus, this is another in Matthew, another book, but along that same subject, and you will even be brought before governors and kings on my account. Jesus is talking at that time to the disciples, which would become apostles, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who are speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. Man, that excites me. It's my Spirit of my Father in me who desires to speak through me, whether it's through a governor, whether it's at my work job or with my spouse or with my children or any of my relationships or right now as I'm speaking to you. It's my Father who speaks, who desires to speak through me. Amen? That's good news. Because I've learned that a lot of things that I say don't necessarily make a change or effective. I love this from three different versions from 1 Samuel 3:19 about what your father says. Samuel continued to grow, and the Lord was with him. None of his prophecies fell to the ground unfulfilled. That's amazing. None of them. None of them. He never missed the mark. Isn't that amazing? God was with him. In another version it says, in the Amplified, now Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fail to be fulfilled. So he wasn't just spraying out a bunch of stuff. He was measured with what he said. He had grown with the Lord so much that with the Lord that everything that he came out of his mouth, man, had an impact. Has an impact. When you're a sent one, I'm realizing more and more, Lord, what comes out of my mouth has an impact. I desire to have an impact now. Lord, whatever I say in the grocery store, whatever I'm saying around those I know or don't know, Lord, let it have an impact. I'm not talking about always just having to be preachy, 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 but how about a word of kindness? How are you today? No, excuse me, you first, by all means. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. God spoke to Samuel in Shiloh, it says. Shiloh means a place of rest. Amen. Place of rest. Do you ever have a place of rest? You can have a place of rest on your way to work. You can have a place of rest in your prayer closet. You can have a place of rest when you're sitting in the chair in your office or on a couch. You can take time and have a place of rest. Nothing of what Samuel said hit the ground because he was always walking in that place of rest. Did he have things that could have stirred him up and made things difficult or did make difficult? Yes. But it was in that place of rest. You know, the Lord desires for us to learn and grow that during things that are stressful or coming against us to, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to trust you. Speak to me. Encourage me. Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. The Lord's always wanting to speak, I'm realizing. Desiring to speak to us, encourage us. It's training ourselves to say, Lord, this area I'm always hearing the voice of me or whatever is going on, the voice of the TV or YouTube or whatever. Lord, I want to be in that place of rest. Is anybody, sometimes it's hard to rest. Do you ever? Lord, teach us and show us. See, Samuel was some, you know, like Elijah, we think he just maybe floated, barely touching the ground. I used to think that stuff. Well, I can't be Samuel, obviously. Can't be Elijah, obviously. But they were men just like you and I. But they learned to rest and to hear his voice. Amen. And in that place of rest, and he speaks to us, that allows us to start speaking to where we don't, as soon as we say something, just hits the ground. Has no meaning, has no purpose. If anything, it can do some harm. Amen. Lord, thank you for the place of rest. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for revealing it to us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for an unveiling of Jesus. It's always an unveiling. My prayer here tonight, or what you've heard me say, if I give you 3 points that you try to get your flesh to conform to, it will not work. But if the Lord Jesus will reveal himself to you, his goodness, his kindness wants to give instruction to our heart, to encourage us, to unravel us, to take crooked things and make them straight. Hey, we're all that way. There's still things I'm asking the Lord, come on, Lord, help me straighten that out. Help me with that. And I just keep at it. Not out of condemnation or driving myself batty, but keep pressing in a way with my mind, saying, thank you for straightening this area of my life out, Lord. Thank you for showing me. And you can't straighten it out unless he shows it to you. Because then if he's not showing anything, then you're just trying to straighten everybody else out, right? Come on, let me help you get that knot out. Well, you got all these big knots yourself, right? So, Lord, thank you for showing those things and helping us to straighten those things out. Amen? Straighten them out with his Holy Spirit, with his strength, with his peace. And in that atmosphere, we hear him. Amen? We hear him. And then what we hear, we speak. What he begins to show us begins to become part of our speech. It brings healing, and it brings life. And it brings maturity. Amen and amen. A couple more scriptures. If anyone is willing to do his will, He will know about the teaching, whether it is God or I am speaking for myself. He says, if you're willing to follow the Lord, if you're willing to wanting to see him, then you'll know whether what I say is false or true. That's what he's saying. And I love that the Lord, with the Holy Spirit and leading and guiding us, what it is. And then when we hear other people say things, we can say, no, that's not the Lord. Or no, that doesn't minister to me. Or that actually brings irritation. Or that brings condemnation. Or that brings heaviness. Or brings confusion. Or it just flat out is a lie. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. And so he says, man, if you really want to walk with God, you will know whether what I am saying is true or not. So as I'm listening to people or anything, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, does this minister to me? Does this strengthen me? Does it encourage me? Does it give me a desire to draw closer to you with thanksgiving? Or is it bringing something heavy or bringing some kind of condemnation? Or is it saying something I've got to do on my own strength? Learning, hearing his voice saying, nope, I won't receive that, or I'll just put that on the table. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. So it says in verse 18, the one who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Wow. You know what the unholy trinity is, don't you? Me, myself, and I. Amen. John 5:43-44, quickly, it says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. Wow. That's what he was saying to the Jews that he was preaching to. Boy, have you noticed, if we've been going through the book of John line by line, Jesus just said it how it was, didn't he? He was loving and kind. He had 3.5 years of ministry, so he didn't have time to sugarcoat things. He just declared things truthfully. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Always looking for a pat on the back. Always never willing to confront, never willing to, I'm not saying out of, you know what I'm saying, the right heart, willing to say what's true regardless of the consequences. Just looking for the approval of a group of people, just patting each other on the back, only wanting approval of your peers, but not really being the highest thing, wanting the approval of what you say coming from God the Father himself. Amen. I could go on, but I'm not. Well, I'm going to pick up from that verse next week. Amen. Let's be enamored and wowed by our Father. In a day and age, it's easy to become wowed by all kinds of different voices. Let's just, man, I'd give that example of Jimmy Swaggart. Let's just make sure we can take people in and glean from them. I'm not saying that. Do you know what I'm trying to say, though? But it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Even in 1 John, as he's preaching or teaching them, he says, you don't need anybody to teach you because you have an anointing in you, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and he will teach you all things. He will reveal all things to you if you're willing to listen to him. Matter of fact, as I've spoke tonight, it could be that the Holy Spirit has hit different people, different ways, different situations, applicable to that situation or your heart, so that a word can come forth. But the Holy Spirit taught you for what you needed. That's what John's talking about. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you for helping us to find a place of rest. We thank you for teaching us and showing us how to hear your voice, hallelujah, so that doesn't matter when the winds and the rains come and houses, spiritual houses may fall, that we are rooted and grounded and built on the solid rock, So regardless what comes our way, we are hearing your voice. So we thank you, Lord, that we are enamored with you, Father God, that we're looking at the things in the Spirit, Father God, that we're not walking in ways of religiosity, but, Father, finding that place of rest to hear your voice, Father God. And so we thank you for that tonight. We love you, we praise you, we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.